for moments of unexpected appreciation and surprise, from which we glimpse some new perspective on our lives. We say thank you. Be these moments of joy, or inevitably of sorrow, may we, in whatever part of life, continue to grow in appreciation and in spirit for the best of life surrounding us. Our chalice lighting words today are by Cliff Reid. May ours be a morning light to guide the young, a shining noonday sun to make our life's way plain, and a fire warm and welcoming when evening comes. Let us join in the fellowship of prayer. Spirit of life and love, be with us as we gather for worship, each in our own place. Help us to feel a sense of community, even though we are physically apart. Help us to care for each other in this world in which the clouds of war, poverty, and climate change hover. May we keep in touch however we can, and help each other however we may. Help us to be grateful for the freedoms we have, and to respect the wishes of others. May we hold in our hearts all those who are grieving, lost, alone, suffering in any way. Amen. Our first reading today is from Aging with Excitement by Andrew Hill. I had my first winter flu jab yesterday. I've gone to the doctors for a blood test and found that because I will be 65 by the 31st of March, I was flagged for an annual flu jab and a once-in-a-lifetime pneumonia jab. I was excited enough about these messengers of old age to completely forget that I've put a couple of cereal bars in my pocket for a pre-breakfast snack on the way home. I wanted to get there and celebrate. Fancy being excited about getting old. And yet, of course, I'm far from ready to die. I may soon be 65. But there's so much that I want to do once my time is all my own. I want time to explore living in a new city and a new environment. I want time to do so many of the things which I have had little time to do while in someone's employ. I want space to write a book and to haunt libraries and museums and art galleries. I want to go as far as my bus pass and rail card will let me, and heavens, absolutely no polluting domestic air travel, making the planet unfit for future generations of wrinklies to appreciate. And I want time to set my own timetables and not be managed by anyone else's clock, apart, that is, from the call for a flu jab. I invite you to join me now, if you wish, in this alternative version of the Lord's Prayer. Spirit of life and love, here and everywhere, may we be aware of your presence in our lives. May our world be blessed. May our daily needs be met, and may our shortcomings be forgiven, as we forgive those of others. Give us the strength to resist wrongdoing, the inspiration and guidance to do right, and the wisdom to know the difference. We are your hands in the world. Help us to grow. May we have compassion for all living beings and receive whatever life brings with courage and trust. Amen. Amen. Our next reading by Malcolm Sadler is also about entering the autumn of our lives. 60, 70, milestones on life's journey. The autumn of one's years. Friends and acquaintances fall by the wayside, leaving unfillable gaps. Living on borrowed time, if the Bible is to be believed. Inevitability, the march of the seasons. Shakespeare's slippered pantaloons seem all too real. Son's teeth, son's everything, seems just around the corner, as years take their inevitable toll. One dreads them having any effect on the mind. But it is not too late. There is much more time for other people. There is still time for love. Much more love. Hugs of real pleasure. Don't delay. Now is the time to change someone's life for the better. Love is what life is about. At the end, one can genuinely say, my living has not been in vain. Let us join once more in the fellowship of prayer. Our lives move in one direction, but we need not fear the destination. There are worse things than journey's end, if end it be. Worse things, like living without purpose, living without love, living without ever having seen the gossamer in autumn. Spirit of life, we are grateful for the things we need for our existence. Our food and drink, our shelter from the storm, the clothes on our backs, the basics that everyone on earth should have. But as Jesus said, life is more than food. Help us to receive with gratitude the things we need to live, the loving touch, the word of comfort, the vision of earth's glory, the sense of your presence in all creation. Above all, help us to know you in ourselves and in those we meet, though sometimes we make it hard. Our lives move in one direction. There is no going back. May joy be ours on the journey. Joy in sharing it with those who share the way. However long the road, however hard, help us amid the tears, always to find reasons for laughter, song, and praise. As we travel together, may it be so. Amen. Our final reading is from The Seasoned Soul by Eliza Blanchard. From the vantage point of adulthood, we may newly appreciate how our childhoods, even our teenage years, were like presents, unearned and unexpected. The gifts of health, energy and delight in the unfolding world came simply wrapped. Most of us don't recall unwrapping them. We just rolled out of bed each day, went to school, learned to play with our friends, did our homework sometimes, and fell asleep easily. These are gifts only a mother as generous as nature could give. In our middle years, we begin to notice our elders reporting aches and pains, encountering limitations, or experiencing other difficulties. When we face something new or difficult for the first time, we often call on experts. We might read books, consult the internet, take classes, or talk to others who have more experience. We can glean certain techniques, adopting ideas that work for us and rejecting those that don't. We might then adapt or even invent approaches as we go. But this is technique. If aging is an art, then artistry grows from a passion for expressing ourselves. Our passion flows from thankfulness for the ever-shifting and transforming gift of life. By observing, practicing, adapting, and creating responses to the happenings of our lives, we mature, becoming time's artisans. The words for this week's Time of Stillness and Reflection are by John O'Donoghue. So I invite you to find a position in which you're comfortable to breathe, meditate, pray. Sense the presence of the Spirit all around, among us and between us, across the miles, and across the technology. There will be some words, there will be a time of silence, then a few more words. May the light of your soul mind you. May all your worry and anxiousness about your age be transfigured. May you be given wisdom for the eyes of your soul, to see this as a time of gracious harvesting. May you have the passion to heal what has hurt you, and allow it to come closer and become one with you. May you have great dignity and a sense of how free you are. Above all, may you be given the wonderful gift of meeting the eternal light that is within you. Let us continue in the silence. May you be blessed, and may you find a wonderful love in yourself, for yourself. Amen. Let us have some music. It is the end of August. Where has the year gone? Next week the children will be going back to school and the older ones will be going up to university or beginning apprenticeships or jobs if they are lucky. Yet for those of us who are older, September is just another month. Time is passing far too rapidly for comfort. Growing older is something which happens to us all, at a rate of 24 hours each day, if we are lucky. And we can choose whether to moan and groan about our new limitations, or we can choose to age with grace and excitement, turning into the wise elders so needed by every family, every community. Our readings and prayers today have shown how positive the aging process can be, so long as we are in the right frame of mind. Yes, we may not have as much energy as we used to have. Tasks which we would have fulfilled with ease a decade ago may leave us tired today. We can no longer take our health for granted. Some of us may be on enough pills to make us rattle, which keep our symptoms of aging under control. And yet there is, or there should be, something joyous about crossing the threshold from middle age to oldie. For me, this has been most clearly demonstrated by becoming a grandparent. My grandchildren are such a source of joy to me. Another is the pride I feel in my children as they take on the mantle of becoming parents and doing so well at it. Far better than I ever did. But I must have done something right because they have both turned out so well. I will be reaching the age of retirement in 6 months' time, and am looking forward to having more free time. Although retired ministers among my friends have warned me that this could be an illusion. One went so far as to say that they are as busy as they ever were, they just don't get paid as much. And I will not be giving up my Unitarian activities entirely, but I will be able to pick and choose which I do. However, like Andrew Hill, I'm planning to age with excitement. Like him, I want time to do so many of the things which I've had little time to do while in someone's employ. I want space to write a book and to haunt libraries and museums and art galleries. I want to go as far as my bus pass and rail card will let me. As long as my resources of health and energy permit, I'm planning to spend as much time with my grandchildren as possible, to continue to write and research new books, and to explore new places and enjoy new experiences. I also plan to share the love I feel for people as widely as I can. I loved Malcolm Sadler's inspirational words, but it is not too late. There is much more time for other people. There is still time for love, much more love, hugs of real pleasure. Don't delay. Now is the time to change someone's life for the better. Love is what life is about. Love is what life is about. Yes, that is a deep truth indeed. I think we can never grow old so long as we continue to be open to love. Love of neighbour, love of family, love of community, love of nature, love of God. I attended Reverend Keith Hill's funeral on the 22nd of August at Kingswood. The chapel was packed, not only with family members, ministerial friends, and people from the congregation, but also with people from the village, all of whom had experienced the pastoral love Keith spread round the village during his 40-year ministry. As we grow older, the things which excite us change as our way of life changes. We gain a new appreciation for things we took for granted when we were younger. As Eliza Blanchard wrote in our third reading, the gifts of health, energy, and delight in the unfolding world came simply wrapped. Most of us don't recall unwrapping them. We just rolled out of bed each day, went to school, learned to play with our friends, did our homework sometimes, and fell asleep easily. When I was at Polytechnic, I thought nothing of burning the candle at both ends, working hard all day on an essay, then partying into the early hours of the morning. These days, although I still rise early at 6 a.m, staying up much beyond 9:30 p.m. is unusual, and I need a lion the next day if I do. Things which excited me as a young adult included the discovery of a new author or book, still true, a night out with friends, now a rarity, and exploring new places, still true. So perhaps I have not changed as much as I think. But I now know that I need to pace my pleasures, look after my body, which has served me faithfully all these years, and not try to do too much in any given week. Which last lesson I learned painfully in the spring, when I came down with shingles, after trying to do just that. As a younger person, I would never have dreamed that my hobby of crocheting would bring me so much pleasure. It began only a decade ago, but in that time I have crocheted many blankets and shawls, mainly for friends and family, and now get ridiculously excited when I am planning a new crochet project and a new parcel of wool arrives at the front door. Crochet is a quiet yet fulfilling pleasure, which keeps my mind and hands occupied in the evenings. And every stitch is made with love, as I think about the person it is destined for. I have always found the words of Khalil Gibran inspirational. One of my favourite quotes is this: and what is it to work with love? It is to weave the cloth with threads drawn from your heart, even as if your beloved were to wear that cloth. It is to build a house with affection, even as if your beloved were to dwell in that house. It is to sow seeds with tenderness and reap the harvest with joy, even as if your beloved were to eat the fruit. It is to charge all things you fashion with the breath of your own spirit. Work is love made visible. I cannot think of a better way of describing a fruitful life, which is available to us at any age. So long as we continue to do whatever it is we do with love in our hearts, we will remain young in spirit. I have found that another gift of growing older is the ability to stand back and see the bigger picture. When we are younger and lack experience, every new event can seem cataclysmic in its impact. Whereas when we have been around the block a few times, the chances are we will be able to recognise that latest happening as having a similarity with something in our past. Of course, it is how we respond which matters. If our response is, "Oh no, not again," then we will continue the cycle of emotional reactivity and get precisely nowhere. But if we are able to stand back at least a little, we may be able to discern the pattern behind the event, remember how it turned out last time, and then take appropriate action, which may be to walk away, refuse to engage with it, or it may be to roll up our sleeves and strive to make a positive difference to the probable outcome. The choice is always ours, or almost always. Of course, if we are suddenly stricken down by a serious illness, accepting our new limitations may be very difficult. The first instinct will almost inevitably be to rail against our fate and to bemoan our lost future. Coming to terms with reduced capacity of whatever kind is not easy at any time of life. In her wonderful book, The Seasoned Soul, Eliza Blanchard quotes a man called Peter Barton, who received a terminal cancer diagnosis near his 50th birthday. He wrote, "I promised myself that I wouldn't have a bad day for the rest of my life. If someone was wasting my time, I'd excuse myself and walk away. If a situation bothered me or refused to get resolved, I'd shrug and move on." Wow. Blanchard comments, "We don't need to have a terminal disease to know that our days are given to us, not earned. We can all vow to embrace life's twists and turns as opportunities for choosing happiness." So let us resolve to age gracefully, with excitement, choosing love over loss, and sharing over closing in on ourselves. We and everyone who surrounds us will be much happier for it. In Cliff Reid's words, "However long the road, however hard, help us amid the tears, always to find reasons for laughter, song, and praise as we travel together. May it be so. Amen." Some closing words. Spirit of life and love, our time together is drawing to a close. May we learn to make the most of each day, aging gracefully and with excitement. May we return to our everyday world refreshed. May we share the love we feel. May we look out for each other. And may we keep up our hearts now and in the days to come. Amen.